Did you do this? Perfect. Well, good morning, everybody.
Ooh, that was loud.
Welcome to worship here at First. My name's Dave, and I'm the pastor here, and we are glad that you have joined us all for worship this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements before we begin. The first one being that there is a congregational meeting this coming Thursday, so please come and join us here at First at 7:30, I think. It's typically when we have them. I'm not sure. There may or may not be pizza, if that's... Which brings me to my second announcement. Thank you to the fellowship committee and to everybody who came out on Friday night for our visioning night. I think it was a huge success, and it was a great kickoff to get us starting and thinking about and praying towards God's vision for us as a church moving forward. So thank you for everybody with that. And I just wanted to highlight, too, the spiritual challenge this week is fasting, learning how to fast. It seemed appropriate after the big pizza feast we had on Friday, so... take advantage of that. And also, there are, in three of your bulletins, there are sermon evaluations. This is something that we're doing as an ongoing basis to help promote some dialogue between myself and you guys to make sure that what I'm saying is actually making sense to you and helpful, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So if you got one of those, feel free to fill it out with as much detail as you'd like. You can remain anonymous if you want, and you can just put it either in the box on the wall at the back or in my mailbox if that works. So thank you for that, and please stick around after the service. We're planning to have some coffee and fellowship. We'd love to hear a little bit more about who you are and get to know you better, and as well, if there's any prayer needs that anybody has, we have people in the prayer room at the top of the stairs who would be more than willing to pray with you. So with those announcements, I invite you now to stand and join in our call to worship.
Hear what the Spirit is saying in the words of Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name.
Christ is in our midst, and he is delighted that his people have gathered to worship him. He has heard our praises, and now his first words to us are always words of welcome. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
God invites us to honest confession. We know that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Because of his grace to us, we can come before God in prayer and honestly confess the wrong that we have done, trusting in his forgiveness and grace in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we have sinned without considering how much you love us. You see our sins more clearly than we can ourselves. Lord, you know when we are indifferent to your word, the Bible. How often we forget to pray, the times we come unwillingly to worship, and yet we turn to you when we are in trouble. Lord, you know when we are untruthful and when we think evil of others. You see our anger and unfairness to our friends. You know how hard it is for us to forgive. Forgive us and make us clean so that we can obey your call to take up your cross and follow you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We can be assured that through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to us. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace.
Thank you.
in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 54.
Well, at this time, I'd like to invite up all the kids that we have here who are age 3 to grade 4. And if any of you have Peter Fishes, you can bring them up. Betty wisely put this on top of the podium this morning so that I wouldn't forget like I have for the past 3 weeks. So if anybody has any Peter Fishes, come on and bring them up. And if you don't, come on up anyway. Have a seat. Ooh, there's lots of you this morning. Oh, we got some Peter Fishes. How's everybody doing this morning? Excellent. So I've got a couple of questions for you guys, and they're a little tricky. So they might be hard. They're asking you guys to make a choice. Okay, you ready? Would you rather eat a chocolate bar or cold, mushy Brussels sprouts?
Chocolate bar.
Chocolate bar.
Chocolate bar.
I think we're pretty much unanimous on that one. Okay, just to be clear, I don't actually have any chocolate bars, so Now, which one of those two is probably better for us? She says resignedly. All right, next question. Would you rather watch cartoons all morning or clean a dirty, stinky bathroom?
Cartoons,
yep. Unanimous again. Which one is probably better for us to do?
Cartoons.
No budget on that one. All right, last one. Would you rather obey your mom and dad or do whatever you wanted? Oh, now you're giving the right answer. Yeah, right. Well, making choices, making good choices is hard sometimes, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you guys that we have a friend who is always with us, Jesus. We don't always see him. He's kind of an invisible friend, but he will always help us to make good choices. Okay, so always remember that. You've got a friend in Jesus who will help you make good choices. All right, let's pray, and then you guys can bless the congregation. Jesus, thank you for always being with us. Help us to make good choices. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody stand up. Oh, good job, Charlie. Way to be a leader. All right, on the count of three, we're going to say as loud as you can, the Lord be with you to all these people because they need you to bless them. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. The Lord be with you. Also with you. Thanks, guys. You want to put your... Oh. So you can put your Peter Fishes up here, but... I'll take your fish. Here, we'll put them there. Yeah. Before we go to God in prayer, Bob Veenkamp told me this morning that Ann has been moved. She's still on the same floor, but she's just in a different room. So if you go to see her, ask what room she's in, and because she's in a different one now. So let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father God in heaven, we come before you this morning to offer to you our praises, our prayers, and our requests. We thank you that you are a God who listens to us, that you care for your children, and you welcome us to share what's in our hearts with you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In you we live and move and have our being. With a word you created everything that we see, and by your generous and providential hand you sustain this earth. You've made us to live in a wondrous world full of delight, and in your mercy you have given it to us to explore, develop, and to take care of. God, you are good, you are powerful, and you are faithful to your promises to us. For all this and more, we give you thanks. Jesus, we glorify your name for making peace with God possible. You willingly went to the cross, enduring hell and conquering death so that we could live. We thank you for your grace to us and for the great love you showed through your sacrifice. We praise you for winning the victory over our sin and guilt and shame, and for calling us your children. Holy Spirit, continue to help us work out our salvation in every area of our lives. Make us sensitive to your work in our hearts. Give us strength to obey your will for us, and keep us from temptation. Enliven our souls to want more of you. Father, we thank you for this church, and for our denomination, and for the many ways that you use us to bring your glory and good news to this earth. We ask your blessing on our outreach efforts here at First, and we pray that you would give us a vision for your kingdom come in Sarnia as it is in heaven. Bless the work of our deacons, our elders, and our many volunteers. Bless our churches and classes Chatham and our denominational ministries. Strengthen and sustain our CRC chaplains who work outside of the church on behalf of the church. We thank you for the places that welcome them. In our ever-increasing secular society, Lord, bless their ministry. And Lord, we thank you for your church here in Sarnia and for the three CRCs that you have here. We pray that your blessing would rest on Living Hope and Redeemer, and we pray that you would use us all for your kingdom purposes here in Sarnia. Lord, we think too of those among us who are struggling in special ways currently. We think of Jenny Kaptein, Betty Veenbos, and Ann Veenkamp as they recuperate from their surgeries and injuries. Grant them patience and trust in you, and may your healing hand rest on them. We pray too for those who continue to battle ongoing physical, emotional, mental, and psychological illnesses. May they sense your presence with them each day. For those of us carrying the weight of grief, loneliness, unspoken hurts, we pray, Lord, have mercy. May your encouragement and comfort bring us hope and strength. And for all those, Lord, who can't be with us here in church each week, may they too experience your blessings in a very real and personal way. Help us all as a church to continue to grow in love toward each other as you have loved us. Bring healing to wounds. Bring forgiveness to grudges. Bring unity where there is division and reconciliation where there is disconnection. We praise you for your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, and your presence with us always. Accept now these prayers we offer and the worship we bring. To you be all honor, glory, and power forever. Amen. Well, one way that we worship God every Sunday is through our giving, of giving back to God a little bit of what he has given and entrusted to us. We have two offerings this morning. The first one is for ministry shares and the work of our denomination and our church. And the second one is for the Samaritan Foundation, helping John and Jane Huizinga. If you're a guest here, please don't feel obligated to give, and also don't feel hindered. This is something we do as our regular rhythm of worship. At first, as a way for us to say to God, we trust that you will give all that we need. So I invite you now to give as God has blessed you.
Thank you.
Thank you, praise team. Before we turn to God's word this morning, let's ask his blessing on our time together. Let's pray. Living God, we thank you for your Spirit's presence among us this morning. And we pray now that you would open our hearts and ears to hear what you have to say to us. Father, as we read this text, we pray that we would encounter you in it, and that in that encounter we might be changed. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 1, to be exact. So feel free to turn there now in your Bibles. The Psalms are a collection of songs or poems that were written by a bunch of different writers that were used in Israel's worship. This was Israel's songbook. And these psalms, they cover the full range of human emotion, giving voice to our deepest joys, fears, and desires. And Psalm 1 serves as that gatekeeper, that introduction to the entire book. And it sets before us, the reader, a choice between two paths. So, let's read Psalm 1 together now. Hear now the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is God's word. Thanks be to him. So every time I go grocery shopping, I face a moral dilemma. See, I mostly shop at Superstore, which is just a couple blocks away, and when you walk into that store, the left or the east side of the store has the produce section. All the fresh fruits and vegetables and good things that our bodies need. But the very right or west side of the store has all of the chips, ice cream, and pop. And so my moral dilemma is always, which part of the store will I invest the most time and money in? Unfortunately, it's rather obvious how that dilemma is going for me. I wear a lot of vertical stripes. Every day, we all face choices. What food to eat, what clothes to wear, how we're going to react to certain people and situations, and where we're going to invest our time, our money, and our energy. Those choices both reflect and, to a certain degree, determine the type of people that we will become. Our choices reveal what's important to us. And so the question then becomes, how do you make those decisions? What criteria do you use to decide between two options? Now, most often, the answer to that question depends on the options being considered. How you choose between either a fancy latte or a plain black coffee is going to be different than how you choose, say, a dentist or a doctor. We make choices on every level of our lives, and our spiritual lives are no different. How we choose to take care of our souls will largely determine how spiritually healthy we become. Just like our organs and muscles, our souls need proper food and exercise, and how we choose to feed them will determine our overall spiritual health. See, and Psalm 1 is a guide for us in this. It lays out two paths for us to consider, the path of the wicked and the path of the righteous, the produce section and the junk food aisle. And it paints a picture of what each of those two paths looks like, laying them out before us and essentially asking us a question, which one are you going to choose? So the psalm starts by talking about the blessed life. Now, it's important to note here what kind of blessed life the psalmist is referring to. See, some people nowadays equate blessing with material wealth and prosperity. But the type of blessing that's described here doesn't necessarily mean a nice house, car, or boat. This blessing isn't dependent on our life circumstances. It refers to something that's deeper. Negatively put, it means not consorting with the wrong groups of people. Note the three verbs in those first couple of verses: walk, sit, and stand. All carry the sense of choosing to be intentionally involved, walking in step with. This isn't just a casual acquaintance. It means you are purposefully walking alongside of or following, meaning you identify with, you want what they want. The same thing with the standing and the sitting. This means joining, getting comfortable, choosing to park yourself with the wicked, the sinners, and the mockers. Naming those three groups are like a warning sign to the readers of the Psalms. Beware of throwing your lot in with those kinds of folks. See, the sinners and the wicked people are the ones who care little for what God thinks. God is not a priority in their life. Other Psalms tell us that these people seek after violence, they take advantage of the poor, they gossip and tell lies about others, they take pride in their own strength and their ability to dominate others. They look out for number one at the expense of everyone else. And the mockers, those are the unhelpful critics. Instead of being for something, they spend their time and energy tearing things down. I think this is a particularly dangerous temptation for people today. We live in cynical times. Trust in institutions like the government and even the church has eroded. Truth has become relativized, where everybody makes their own truth. Internet trolls abound. See, the internet has given everyone a voice, but with little accountability. If you want to see what a mocker might look like today, just read the comment section of any online news article that takes a controversial stance on anything, really. And mockers don't necessarily want to fix anything. They just want to be outraged and angry. They want to complain and criticize without taking responsibility to do anything about it themselves. Sadly for them, they're never satisfied, never happy. Well, all of these things the blessed person avoids. They do not pursue. They don't make room in their life for that. They weed all of that stuff out, making sure that it doesn't grow or put down roots in their soul. Instead, the blessed person takes delight and meditates on the law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord here refers to the entirety of Scripture. And the blessed person finds delight there because the Bible shows us who God is and what he wants for us and from us. Again, the blessing that comes is not necessarily material, but spiritual blessings like peace and joy, purpose, and love. Those blessings are valuable because they come from God, so they'll stick around. Whereas material stuff, that always deteriorates or can be taken away in an instant. So the person who wants to be blessed is somebody who invests in their relationship with God. The psalmist goes on to describe what that blessed life looks like with the metaphor of a tree planted by streams of water. And the image here is of a healthy, vibrant, and growing tree. A tree with two distinctive qualities: leaves that never wither and fruit that grows in season. The leaves never wither because the tree has that constant, steady source of life-giving water. It's constantly being fed by that water. It's thriving and it's alive because it is being fed by what it needs to grow. And it produces fruit because it has matured. It has grown up, no longer a sapling. It has set down roots that draw in that life-giving water so that the tree is fed and produces the fruit that it was designed to generate. The blessed life is one that produces and shares blessings with others. Well, in stark contrast, the life of the wicked is described using the metaphor of chaff. Now, chaff is the leftover part of the grain after it's harvested. It's the stalk or the skin of the kernel. It's the stuff that you do not eat because it has no nutritional value. It's the throwaway part of the grain. In Bible times, wheat was harvested by throwing it up into the air. Then the heavier grain would fall back down to the floor, but the chaff would be blown away by the wind, never to be seen again. So that's a pretty glaring contrast, a deep-rooted and vibrant tree, branches loaded with fruit, versus a dry, unusable husk that blows away in the breeze. And while the psalm paints a pretty black and white picture, the reality is that our lives end up being considerably grayer. I'd love to say that every time I leave the superstore, it's all grapes, carrots, and spinach. But my receipts far too often betray my fondness for Cheetos and Chapman's. It's hard to choose healthy sometimes, especially when you develop an appetite for chemically manufactured cheese dust. There's a spiritual truth here. What you feed will grow. See, I know what I need to be healthy and strong, but I frequently choose the opposite. And my hunch is that I'm probably not alone in this. I think that most of us know what God wants for us. We just have trouble with it, and we don't want to do it. See, and part of the problem, or maybe the big part of the problem, is our decider. The part of our will that we use to make decisions. God created us to be satisfied in Him and His goodness, but once sin got introduced into our lives and into this world, it went to work corrupting that decider. So that now we choose the opposite of what's good for us. Instead of staying in the produce section, we're drawn to the junk food aisle. And so instead of growing into our God-created potential, the sin we choose to engage in ends up stunting our growth. And what's even worse is that there's nothing we can do to fix our broken decider. All of our attempts at making enough good choices to counter our bad choices can never keep up. For every apple we pick, there's three peanut butter cups on the other side. It's a never-ending task, doomed to fail. Instead of trying to balance it out, we need someone to come and help fix the problem that's at our core, to fix our decider. And this is where the good news about Jesus comes in. He is our living water. He is the source of all we need to grow spiritually healthy and fruitful. Because God so loved His broken creation, He sent Jesus to save and redeem it. On the cross, God took all of our sin off of us and placed it on Jesus. Jesus took it from us, freeing us to once again freely commune with God and grow into the fruitful life He created us to live. In doing this, He not only removed sin's stain from us, but He installed His Spirit in all who put their faith in Him, an upgrade for our decider, so that we can live deep-rooted and secure lives in Him. See, this is the reality that Psalm 1 is pointing us to. The good life that God wants for us, and that we truly do want at our core because we're designed for it, it's only possible through Jesus. We can know what's best for us, but we won't choose what's best for us without Jesus' help. He teaches our deciders to distinguish between good and bad choices and then empowers us to make the right choices. Choices that will lead to the thriving, soul-satisfying life we were created to enjoy. And the good news is that He gives that help to everybody who asks for it. Now, just to be clear, He doesn't make the choice for us. That's still on us, but He gives us power to overcome our defective deciders and to make the choice that He would make if he were living our life. See, the more that we get to know Jesus, the more we will set roots down to draw from his living water and word to us. And the more peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, and love will grow in us. In John 15, Jesus uses another agricultural image, saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." See, it all starts with Jesus. He is our life source. In him, we have everything we need. In him, our souls find the fulfillment that they hunger for. All we have to do is to surrender, to stay connected, to stop trying to live life our way and make Jesus number one in our hearts and lives. See, the more that we do that, the more of his life can flow through us, and the more blessed we'll be. Just to be clear again, these are not promises of health and wealth. There are many psalms that cry out to God about how awful life can be sometimes. But it's the blessing of having God on your side, of having God in your corner and with you, no matter what circumstances you might be facing. The psalmist backs that up with that last verse. "The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He is with us. His eyes are on us. No matter what happens to us, God remains with us." He doesn't promise everything will be easy or simple, but he does promise to stay with us. And we then become righteous by putting our faith in Jesus. See, when Jesus died, God took our sin off of us and placed it on him, and Jesus then exchanged our sin for his righteousness. So that when God looks at all those who've put their faith in Jesus, he doesn't see their sin, he sees Jesus and his righteousness. So by putting our faith in Jesus, our lives get opened up to all the blessings that God has for us. So what might this look like in our everyday life? What does shopping for soul veggies entail? Well, the temptation here may be to tell ourselves to do more of this or do more of that. That's our default because we tend to want to take control and fix things ourselves. But that leads to more work. And Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, Jesus doesn't tell us to do anything, but simply to abide in him. To make him number one in our lives. To keep the water of his life flowing into and through us. Because that is where our growth and our fruit comes from. From his spirit at work alive in us. See, this life of blessing that Jesus has for us always starts in the heart. And then it flows into our hands and feet from there. Just like a tree, the water goes into the roots and then makes its way up the tree and out into the branches. So if you are looking for something to do, commit time to Jesus every single day. Make room for his words to you. Let them sink deep into you. Spend time reflecting and meditating on them. Show him that he is a priority in your life. When we do that, when we show God that we want what he has for us, he will bless that. And what you'll see happening is that the way we make decisions will start to change. The things that you value may start to shift. Your appetites will be altered. You may find yourself more patient and loving towards difficult people. You may find yourself becoming more thoughtful and kind, more generous with your time and resources. All of these things are part of Christ's life, making its way into every area of our lives. So maybe another way of summarizing Psalm 1 is by saying, what you feed will grow. What you give time and attention to, good or bad, will grow in you. God has what we need to be healthy and strong, and he generously gives it to anyone who asks. When we follow his way, life will be good, no matter what our circumstances say. God offers us the life of blessing, not necessarily material blessings, but spiritual blessings, when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. He doesn't force us on it. He doesn't force it on us. He created us with free wills because love, true love, is a choice. It's just up to us to receive what he offers. Two ways. One, the way of life and soul-satisfying fulfillment. The other, the way of destruction. Each day, we make choices that reflect one or the other. The more we let Christ's life flow in and through us, the more that we will experience the life of blessing that God has created us to live. The way of God in Jesus, or the way of our own will. One leads to life, the other to death. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness to us each day in Christ. We thank you that for every time we choose the way of sin, that there is always a way back, that you are a God who loves to forgive and reconcile and restore. We pray that your life would flow through us, that we would open up our hearts and lives for more of what you have for us. Give us courage, Father, to follow the difficult path you call us to walk. Empower and strengthen us by your Spirit to obey what you command us. We thank you that you are a generous and giving God, and we ask that you would continue to walk with us and protect us each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God is a generous God, and he always has more blessing to pour out on us when we ask. So in response, I invite you to stand and join as we sing, "All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly." Well, that invitation stands and is open to all who hunger for it. And so if you have never tasted of God's grace and you feel that urge to accept that invitation today, I invite you to come and talk to me after the service. I would love to pray with you and help you through that. As well, we have the prayer room at the top of the stairs if you prefer to go there too. So, as we prepare now to leave this place, I invite you to lift up your hearts and receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.